Hey, welcome back in. Sports Radio 950 KJR. Ian Furness with you this afternoon. Coming up in just about 12, 13 minutes or so, we'll have Fact or Fiction, your chance to win a $1,000 weekly prize, $10,000 grand prize, all courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. Brand new EQC has opened up off of I-5 there in Tacoma. Joining me right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. These are fun for me to do because, you know, as I guess I get older and guys move around and establish themselves elsewhere, we end up talking to some guys that we know real well, old friends that we all work together. Sports radio is kind of a small business in some ways. You know, we had our 10 weeks there. We did John Lund every week, and that was an adventure, as this guy will tell you in just a second as well. But it's great to have on the guy that, well, basically he made Jason Puckett who he is today, kind of took him under his wing years ago at the Fan down in Portland, and now he's a big deal for 105.3, the Fan down in Dallas, one of my good friends in the biz, and just an all-around good guy. Gavin Dawson joins us right now. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, man? Ian, you're looking good. Things have not changed a bit. I think we've known each other for 15 or 16 years now.
It's longer than that, buddy.
That's about it. Longer than that even?
Well, because I got to the Fan in Portland in 2002.
Okay.
So that's 18 years. You were holding down the afternoons and doing stuff and doing updates. I remember I always tell the story. I rolled in with our old program director, the Canadian Alan Davis, and in between him telling me that we need to talk more Tour de France and cycling.
It's a sports station, guys, not sports station. You know, keep look at the calendar. What's going on? We got the Masters here. You should be building up to that for 2 weeks. Yeah, that was outstanding. But Ian, let me tell you, one of my first jobs at the Fan in Portland, I was doing updates during John Lund's show.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it was Blazers Jazz or it was a big college football game coming up, but I remember Lund talking to you in Utah. And I thought, man, this is really cool. These guys have been in the sports radio business and they're, you know, industry guys and they're calling friends in other markets. That's freaking awesome. And, you know, to now be carrying that on and doing it, it's a pretty cool deal for me.
Well, and you're doing such a great job down there in Dallas and with your show and the G-Bag Nation, Afternoon Drive now and all that, and the Cowboys flagship station, which is why I want to kind of talk to you today as well. And I know for a long time you talked to Jerry Jones every week on your show. You move time slots to the afternoon. So you go, what, from Jerry to Stephen Jones? Is that how it works now? Is that the trade-off? So just tell people up here, you dealt with Jerry every single week. In Seattle, we don't even get to talk to the GM. The only time the GM talks, John Schneider, is combine and draft, and that's it. We never hear from him. You get Jerry or had Jerry on your show every week. You guys talk to him every week post-game, and now you get Steven. What are these guys really like?
Oh, you know, Jerry is legit old school. He is a great guy to talk to. He's a good family man a lot of the times. You know, and Steven is very much like him, but just – a little bit more savvy from growing up around the NFL. He knows about the shrewd business moves that you have to make, and it's why Cowboys fans have optimism that maybe the next 20 years with Steven taking more of a prominent role can be better than the last 25 years. But Jerry really loves being the star, you know, and he loves being the owner of the Cowboys and knowing the players, and he lets his relationships get in the way and wanting to make a big splashy move get in the way of what can sometimes be boring but very successful football move. So, you know, I think Steven's a little bit more of a hard ass. Jerry's more of the schmoozer.
A little different than our time in Portland when the late Paul Allen, we would get, you know, shooed away if he was walking down the hallway, much less try to talk to the guy, man. It's a little different deal.
That was incredible. No eye contact, please.
Yeah, do not look at Mr. Allen. Do not look at Mr. Allen. Turn the other way.
Well, these guys get it. You know, they know the accessibility. And, you know, having the Cowboys as a brand is something that you can nurture and invest in regularly, or you could let it go away. You know, at one point, the Cleveland Browns were one of the top brands in American sports. Yep. And they got an owner that wanted to be more in the back and didn't want to be the showman. But Jerry shows the importance of creating headlines and energy and pretty much all news is good news.
Gavin Dawson, 105.3, the Fan down in Dallas, joining us here on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline. All right, what did that win on Sunday do? I mean, that the most improbable win possible. Certainly the argument could be made that the Atlanta Falcons basically handed it to them, especially the special teams play at the end. But what kind of aftershocks do we have? Is there such a thing as momentum after that game?
I think there can be, you know, the NFL, the line between average and good is thin enough that if you get some momentum and some belief in yourself, that you, maybe that can carry you. Hopefully it bought him some time, I think is the best thing I could tell you, though, because without Lyle Collins there, who missed training camp and has been on IR to start the season, and Tyron Smith, it has been a disaster trying to hold the fort. They got lucky. Tack McKinley was hurt about halfway through that game with a groin. Otherwise, they would have likely been teeing off during that second half comeback, just as the Rams were the previous week with the pass rush. So it buys them time to get that line healthy and get some things figured out. But you know what the standard is with the NFL. If you're anywhere close to being an over 500 team, you're thinking Super Bowl. And because of how poor the defense was, and the way that game started, the way the Rams game went, there's not a lot of confidence that this team can go accomplish its big picture objectives right now, Ian. But it's bought you a little bit of time, and it stopped worst case scenario. And you know the history of 0-2 teams even trying to make the playoffs is bad.
Well, the good news for Dallas is that no matter what the health is of their offensive line, they're going to face the worst pass rush maybe in the history of the NFL this week. So, and it got worse with Bruce Irvin's injury. What is the health status of Dallas? Where are the Cowboys in terms of some of those key guys that are out?
You know how iffy a stinger can be, and that's what we're hearing. Tyron Smith suffered last Thursday at practice, and they were hoping he could go into Sunday, but the pain, the lack of strength was too much, so... Who knows, you know, 2-3 weeks at the worst, and we'll see as the week goes on what's going on with Tyron Smith. The good news there we found out is, you know, it's nothing to be concerned with long term. And then Lyle Collins out for sure. Leighton Vander Esch out for sure there with the injury that he suffered. So it's not looking good going into this past week. There were only there were no teams with more injuries than the Cowboys. 9 players on IR or out for the week already, where elsewhere in the NFL there were a couple of teams tied with 5. So about twice as injured as the second and third most injured teams. Luckily, they didn't suffer any more of note in week 2 that we know of at this point, but it's not good. And it was a miracle that the Cowboys were able to complete balls down the field against that Atlanta defense. You know, not only was their pass rush weak, but their secondary was horrible.
Oh, that Atlanta secondary, man, you can feast on that thing. It is an absolute train wreck. Yeah, back that's right. There. I saw it the week before.
Now. Yeah, it's a deal. Let Russ cook against that secondary.
Yeah, I mean, you and I could cook against that secondary, I think. What a carnage. Gav, you've covered the league for a long time now, down in Dallas. What carnage last week. What a disastrous week for the league. Before we get back to our matchup on Sunday, I mean, what a disastrous week with star players going down left, right. I don't buy into the fact, I don't know about you, I don't buy into the fact that, you know, people, I was watching an ESPN story today, and whoever their medical expert is, she's saying, well, you know, no preseason games and this and that. I said, well, how would a practice game help an ACL? I don't understand that one, especially when guys aren't even playing, but it was a horrible week for the NFL.
You know, maybe with individual cases, they could find out that a guy got real couch potato-y and you know, started his own Twitch stream for 4 straight months doing Call of Duty. And, like, his soft tissues broke down, and then he tried to speed back into it in training camp. But, no, the majority of these guys, you know how they are. They're professional. They're very conscientious, and they know their bodies, their paycheck. And in the NFL, your paycheck can be gone in the blink of an eye. You know, you get your signing bonus and whatever kind of guaranteed money you can, you can get out of them. But beyond that, no, I'm with you. Most of the players don't even barely play in the preseason anyway. So it's pretty much normal. This is the violence of the game and, you know, how cruel the game can be. And that's why I advocate my players don't play in the preseason at all anyway. I don't need this kind of stuff. It can happen at any time, any place.
And that was proven last week. Gavin Dawson, 105.3, the Fan down in Dallas, joining us. All right, my thought on this matchup, the most simplistic way to look at it, 2 pretty good offenses and 2 really bad defenses. How do you see the matchup on Sunday?
Yeah, I see it as Russell Wilson is better than Dak Prescott. Dak's a major point of debate right now, and I don't mean to be polarizing like that, but I think – when it comes down to it, if Seattle can break the pocket, and it's not going to be hard to do against Terrence Steele and Brandon Knight. I think scheme can get it done, even if you don't have individual greatness. Aggressiveness can get it done. And if you do that, I think Dak Prescott breaks down in ways that Russell Wilson won't. Russell Wilson has escapability. He has the ability to make plays deep down the field 8 seconds after the ball has been snapped. And it's majestic to see some of those rainbow throws. So, you know, that's the way I see it. I see the Seahawks as a team under Pete Carroll. and John Schneider and their assistants, obviously, that had been able to overcome adversity and maintain a winning culture throughout transition and turnover. And I see the Cowboys right now, even though on paper their roster appears to be really, really deep, they are struggling, you know, to be that team that can even have back-to-back playoff seasons. They've had this championship window open since 2014, but it's been good year, bad year, good year, bad year. And, you know, I think Seattle is the team that will figure out a way more times than not to overcome their bad defense, a lot to do with the fact they have a Hall of Fame at quarterback. And the Cowboys are often the team whose, you know, shortcomings on any given Sunday can sink them.
Take us behind the scenes up here in Seattle. We see it from far away. You're in it. You know, I saw the tweets. I agree with you. I thought the one on, you know, against the Rams the first game, you're a franchise quarterback. Sometimes you got to take your team down and lead them to a victory. Not one that was maybe handed to you like the Atlanta game, but take them down. What is the thought on Dak in Dallas? I'm assuming there's the yes and the no sides, right?
Yeah, I think what you can't deny, and it is polarizing, more polarizing than Tony, I'm not sure. But it's right there. And if you're the Cowboys quarterback, you got to win the Super Bowl or you're not going to get the credit. You better put up, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning numbers. And even then, you know, maybe they say he still can't win the big one or something like that. But the deal on Dak, it's 50-50. It's polarizing. And, you know, what can he grow into, I think, is a big part of it. But right now, you have the actions not matching the words from the Cowboys front office, Ian. They say he's our guy. They say we want to invest in him long term. But they let him go at the July deadline, knowing Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes were going to get that money, and move the market in March, February, to $42 million. There was the report Dak would have done $35 million for 5 years if the Cowboys were just willing to agree to not franchise tag him at the end of those 5 years. That wasn't good enough for the Cowboys. They're willing to add $7 or $8 million the next year. My belief, and, you know, one of the fun parts of listening to Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones is trying to decipher exactly what the truth is, right? My belief is they want to see Dak prove it. They want to see Dak be the player that Russell Wilson showed to be after his first contract. I'm not a bus driver. I don't need the running game. I don't need a great defense. I'm going to keep on winning. We're going back to the playoffs even in a super tough division. The Cowboys have a trash division. Last year, they handed it over to Philly. Dak couldn't elevate his team. You know, so you have the tag this year. You have the tag next year. The Cowboys' actions aren't matching their words. My belief is they want to see him go be that player, and then here's your check. Yeah, sure, we'll go to $42 million. You sure? Oh, but if you can go out there and be the player on third down and in the red zone that wins games, then we'll give you the money. And that's what I have to believe it is right now, even though the Cowboys continue to say they're 100% committed to him. I'm just not buying it at the moment.
Pretty simple. I mean, eight or nine wins is going to win that division this year. I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the NFC East. Bottom line is this: nobody's carried the ball more than Zeke. I got to think for Seattle to win, you got to stop Zeke Elliott, and then after that, just see what happens, right?
Hey, and you know what? Zeke is back, man. He his rookie year after the career at Ohio State, he was electric. He was tough, and the last 3 years, he's just been tough. He was a couch potato.
Cabo didn't treat him well.
No, you know, hey, it's easy, I guess, when you're that awesome to think, well, I can just keep living my life this way. But it caught up with him. I think off the field caught up with him, but he recommitted himself in the offseason. And, he's going to be tough. He's a handful once again.
Buddy, it's great to see your success, man. You're one of the best dudes in the business, and you're just killing it down there in Dallas. I'm so happy for you and proud of you. I remember back in the day when you were just coming up, man. It's awesome to see what you're doing down there, and I'm really happy for you.
Well, it's really an honor to be on your show, and I'm still sorry for deleting that Jeff Tedford interview from around the past 10 that season.
Wow, I don't even remember that. I remember a lot of mistakes. I thought it was Puckett usually that made the mistakes along the way when he was producing, but ooh, apparently not.
I stepped in a big time that day. My bad.
You're the best, man. Take care.
You are. Salute, buddy.
There you go. Gavin Dawson from the Fan down in Dallas, Texas.